This is a CKTZ News update. That's the Vancouver band Plain Cheese Pizza. Guitarist Wiley Ferguson is now based in Nanaimo after studying at the Squamish Academy of Music and Capilano University in North Vancouver. His mother and stepfather live on Cortez Island. Ferguson, at age 30, is an accomplished composer and is drawn to both contemporary classical music and jazz. He's now been invited into a mentorship program with the Vancouver Symphony Orchestra, where one of his compositions will be played by the VSO.
Every year they usually have like a reading session, so they'll choose some composers and they do, basically you submit some work and they'll do a reading session, and so that people have an opportunity to hear some of the writing played by a professional orchestra. But this year they've expanded it to be a mentorship program, and over the next 6 months, I think the readings are in May, so we have a bunch of seminars with guest composers and different parts preparation thing with the librarian of the VSO, all sorts of technical stuff, what kind of spacing you need for different parts and things like that. And then there's other things with the guest composers, you know, how to go about writing for orchestra and tips throughout the process and all that stuff. And then in May, there's myself and five other composers. And so we'll get the chance to hear our compositions played by the VSO.
Right. Now, what sort of a process did you have to go through to submit your work and to get accepted into this process?
Like they do, there was a call for scores. So you put in, basically they just had to you submit two pieces, one of which would be some sort of large ensemble or orchestra or something like that. And the other one can be whatever you want it to be. But I had already been working on a piece for orchestra for a little bit. So I had some sort of preliminary sketches that weren't not quite done yet. But I submitted that and another piece that I had previously written for a festival in Vancouver a few years ago for a large ensemble. I think it was like a 12-piece ensemble. So I had a couple pieces already that I was working on, so I just submitted those, and then they accepted that, and I got the email a couple days later. But I have applied for the reading session before with a different orchestral piece that I've been working on, but it didn't get selected, so I'm pretty excited that they went for it this time, and I'm a little more confident in my writing now as well than I was a few years ago.
Now, the fascinating thing I find, Wiley, is that you're both a jazz and contemporary classical music musician and composer. I'm just wondering where those two forms actually meet for you, or how do you cross the bridge, or do you see a relationship between them?
Yeah, I don't really consider myself to be one or the other, especially like I did go to school, where I went to school in Vancouver, Capilano is a jazz program, but I don't think I've ever really considered myself to be like a jazz player. Like I'm a guitar player. I can fake my way through playing jazz, but I don't really consider myself to be like a professional jazz musician. And at the same time, my composition, when I'm writing for chamber ensemble and things like that, like there's not a whole lot of jazz present. It's mostly, the thing that I enjoy about jazz is the improvisation, right? And a lot of the stuff that I do that I would consider jazz is more like free improv. There's a tradition of free jazz, and so that's what I gravitate towards in my playing jazz wise but like just being in that world surrounded by jazz musicians, it definitely helped a lot. But I had a couple of private teachers that really, I was always interested in the contemporary classical stuff, even from the time I was in high school. But when I was in school, I was fortunate enough to have a couple of really good teachers who were able to guide me along composing in that sort of style. And I was surrounded by great musicians, so a lot of the time I had some people to test out ideas and who were able to play my pieces. And there's a lot of crossover between those two worlds. Like the music that I write is pretty dissonant, and a lot of the time free jazz gets a little indulgent, dissonant, and all that kind of stuff too. But I just like the idea that like anything goes. So a lot of the time, I'm not opposed to writing classical music, tonal music. It's just never really been a thing that was personal for me. Like I never felt the need to write anything in the style of Mozart or something like that. I'm more interested in these kind of dissonant, dark tonalities and everything.
Yeah. Now, I have to say that one thing, I had the good fortune to see you at the Love Fest on Cortez last August, and I really enjoyed your performance and the sound of what your ensemble was producing. And the thing that impressed me a lot was just like you're talking about a dissonance, but somehow with what you were producing, it was very accessible. Do you have any sort of insights into how to make dissonant music accessible?
That's a pretty tough question, but the thing about that particular group and that particular performance, I feel like was a bit more geared towards like the tonal kind of music. But we did play some of the stuff that we were doing was fairly out there, I think. But as far as making dissonant music more accessible, I'd say like groove and rhythm and things like that can often speak to people a little bit.
Huh.
I've found that sometimes when I play like really out there stuff that's rhythmically challenging, sometimes people can gravitate towards it, and sometimes it can be totally off-putting, depending on whether or not it's nice sounding or if it's really grating, like dissonant sounds. Rhythm is a big part of it, and also just what kind of medium you're playing. I've got like what we were doing on Cortez was like a rock band. There's instrumentation that people are familiar with, and sometimes that can make people feel a little bit more grounded as well. But I don't know. That's a really tough tough thing to answer. Making dissonant music more accessible, because I am well aware that a lot of the time when you're exploring that kind of sound, it can sometimes be a little off putting for a lot of people.
I have to ask you then, Wiley, what your goals are if music is meant to be heard. What kind of an audience are you appealing to? And what are your goals in terms of your own compositions and actual performance?
I would say that I try to be uncompromising in my own artistic vision. So the thing is that the music that I like and the music that I like to write it's personal. It's meant to be for me. It's my own expression. And so a lot of the time, I find that if music is honest, then people will gravitate towards it no matter the aesthetic. Sometimes, maybe that's not entirely true, but most of the time when I've written something that I'm particularly proud of, it's gotten some sort of reaction where somebody says, hey, I liked this piece. Or maybe if music is meant to be heard, I do agree with that. But I don't think that music is meant to be watered down, or I don't feel like I need to cater to any sort of specific audience to feel accomplished in my own composition. So the goal for composing and things, I would like to get my music performed, and I would like to be able to hear it performed myself. Whether or not that means some kind of a commission opportunity, that would be great. I would really like to do that kind of work, and I would like to be able to work with more ensembles, but at the same time, I will never water down my own style for the sake of widespread appeal or something like that.
That does speak to true authenticity, and for lack of a better word, and actually citing a cliche, that's where music, which is so subjective, is soulful. I just wanted to ask you another question here quickly, Wiley, is that who are your biggest musical influences, do you think?
The first one, number one, has been Frank Zappa for quite some time. My mom got me into Frank Zappa when I was pretty young. We had a picture of him on the wall when I was like a little kid. Hey, mom, who's that? I was little. And he's the greatest guitar player in the world, something like that. So there's this weird long-haired guy with a mustache on my wall. And then years later, when I started playing guitar and getting into music, she said, oh, hey, you might like this. And it was everything that I wanted to explore. There's humor, there's guitar playing, an amazing guitar player, and a composer as well. And so he's got he's got albums of contemporary classical music. He's got albums with jazz improvisation. He's got rock albums. There's humor. There's really serious stuff. There's extremely difficult music in there. And like philosophy-wise, very uncompromising and true to the artistic vision, which is one of the biggest parts for me, is that it's always honest. And that was like, and that's really inspiring to me. And still, I've been into Frank Zappa since I was 14 years old, and I still love it. And then after that, I really like a lot of death metal. I love death metal, and I love like 20th century classical music. I like Schoenberg and Webern and Stravinsky and Edgar Varèse and Reschke and André Jolivet are all amazing composers. And that side of classical music and jazz-wise. I like a lot of the modern New York guys. Steve Lehman is probably one of my favorite jazz musicians. And then there's Coltrane and Ornette Coleman. And it just, the list goes on and on. I can't stop. I'm just, like, totally addicted to listening to music. So anything I can really get my hands on, I like it all. And even, like, some of the newer, I'm not a huge fan of pop music, but, like, even some of the newer stuff, like, there was an album that I've been listening to by an artist called Maisie called The Rainbow Cassette. I've been loving that. Harry Styles' new album and, like, the production on some of that, on some of the newer stuff. Even, like, Jacob Collier, who's a vocalist and a multi-instrumentalist, and that's riding the fringes of, like, pop music meeting jazz, meeting classical, meeting all these different musics coming together. And, like, I feel like the place where we are now in time, like, we've come so far with music in throughout history that, like, now we're at a point where there's all this, there's global influence in everything, so we have to come up with creative ways to connect these streams of different music.
Yeah.
And I just really appreciate, like, anybody who's pushing the boundaries on their own creative limits, really.
Final question, Wiley Ferguson, and that is, what is your connection with Cortez?
My parents moved to Cortez, my mom, Julie, and Sandy Keith, they moved to Cortez, I don't know, maybe 5 years ago or something like that, but it's a beautiful place, and I've been fortunate enough to spend some time there with them, and I don't even know what to say. It's a paradise. So I love it there, and I love being able to, just to be able to be a part of the thing that's going on there. Is there. Everybody who I've met there is very inviting and just really nice people, and you can't, it doesn't get much better than that.
Okay, Wiley. I sure hope that we get to welcome you back to Cortez soon and get to hear some of your latest comments.
It would be my pleasure. I'm hoping, I've got a few offers from some different people now to come and play, but I don't really have a really solid group right now because the group that I was playing with, they're all based in Vancouver. I'm hoping sooner than later to be able to bring something to Cortez again. And if not before Love Fest, then I'll definitely be at next year's Love Fest as well, because, like, that was one of the best experiences that I've had playing in quite a long time. It was really amazing to be a part of that.
That's great to hear, because your ensemble was definitely at the very top of my favorites as well.
I appreciate hearing that. It was definitely a really cool opportunity to be there, and it was a strange gig for me too, because the band, we really just threw it together. The guitar player and the clarinetist that brought with me, that we had played lots before, but the whole rhythm section, we'd never even met before, and we had one rehearsal before that whole show. So very limited rehearsal time and just thrown together. I'm glad that it went over so well, although you're always your own worst critic. I could always find nitpick my own performances especially.
Sure.
But that's absolutely, yeah, I'm hoping that next year I'll be able to have maybe a little bit more of a polished group to bring and do some stuff that we've had some time to work at. Not that I'm disappointed with the performance. I thought it went over well, but yeah, it was quite an experience, and just have to have trust in the people around you. I know that they're all amazing musicians that I had playing with me, so.
Yeah, no, that's amazing given the performance and the sophistication of the music. It was really remarkable.
Yeah, it helps that I try to surround myself with people who are, I'm always looking just for musicians who are better than me. Honestly, that's my goal, is that I want to have people to play with that I'm amazed by. And so whenever I have a band that I was playing with in Vancouver called Plain Cheese Pizza, and that was like putting that band together. I was like, okay, who do I want that I think is just incredible? And I always ask these people, hey, do you want to be in my band? And sure enough, everybody said yes. So I was like, I was so excited to be playing with those people. And I feel like that's one of the things that I feel is really important in my own just musical journey, is just finding people to play with who I think are just amazing. And then they can only say yes or no. So what's the harm in asking? You want to play together and see what happens?
Greg Osoba, CKTZ News, Cortez Island. CKTZ News is brought to you by the Local Journalism Initiative, the program funded by Heritage Canada and administered through the Community Radio Fund of Canada.